When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Karen Levy, the Senior Vice President and Private Banking Group Manager at Associated Bank. I want to focus in our conversation this morning on estate planning. Quite a few questions here for you. I want to hit a couple of different areas. And first, let's talk about what's changed in estate planning that people may not be aware of this year.
So there's a lot going on. And the big key with estate planning is you want to have communication. Communication between your spouse and beneficiaries. Communication between your financial planner and advisory people, your tax advisor, your financial advisor. Coming up, I read an article that there's going to be about $84 trillion being passed on to the next generation by 2045. So you can see how important it is for people to really think about this and make sure that assets get transferred the way they intend them to be. Studies show about a third of Americans have an estate plan, and about 20% of those that do have a plan haven't updated the plan in the last 5 years. And that's a little concerning because decisions you make early on may seem right and the right people and the right assets being transferred, but then 5 years from now, maybe there's a divorce or there's a death in the family or a birth of new children, and what you may decided early on may not make sense now. Some of the things to focus on going into 2023 is, having communication with younger generations. For years, our grandparents and parents didn't talk about finances to their children, and this is changing for the better. More families are planning and communicating to the younger generation about the overall family wealth, the businesses, and what's going to happen when the older generation passes. And this helps the younger generation to be prepared and have a plan of their own. If you think about it, younger members of a society are going to have different investment strategies than those who are middle-aged or retirement age. They're going to be focused on commodities and cryptocurrency, farmland, very different from what their parents and grandparents have done.
I was just going to say, you mentioned the lack of communication, and there are all kinds of horror stories that happen when people don't communicate, or even when they don't update their estates and tell other family members about it. It could be very costly, and it could be a lengthy process in probate court, couldn't it?
Correct. If you don't have everything established or you don't communicate what assets and how assets are titled and you anticipate when you pass for your assets to go to your spouse, if it's not documented properly, it could end up in probate court. It takes time, months, sometimes years to get access to those assets, and a lot of out-of-pocket costs. And the time when you lose a loved one, that's not when you want to be focusing and trying to get assets that you thought were being transferred automatically upon death.
And wealthy individuals especially fail to communicate proactively with their heirs. A lot of them feel like it might create a sense of greed, or there could be some competition among family members. It could be painful. How do you get around that?
Working with a financial planner and a team to really educate the older generation on what's going to happen and then the younger generation on how this is going to transfer. And then this is the way, grandma and grandpa have it set up or mom and dad have it set up so that they know, and you can educate and work with that younger generation as to the process and when assets are going to be in their name and how it transfers. Really just preparing them for every step of the way so everyone is engaged and there are no surprises. I think you run into issues when things are not revealed until after the passing of the loved one, and then everybody is confused and, well, why did Jimmy get this and Johnny didn't get this? And it creates havoc. So right. I think communicating and working with your financial planning team really is the key.
And the other thing too, estate planning isn't just for older people, it's for younger people as well. Do you find a lot of younger people not doing the kinds of estate planning that they should be doing, and why is that?
They feel they are too young to do it, and they feel they don't have the assets or the wealth to do it. And it's never too young to start, especially for young couples, newly married, new parents. You're going to want to have a plan of what happens if one parent passes. God forbid, what happens if both parents pass at the same time? Who's going to take care of the kids? Who's going to handle and manage the assets? Or do you want your assets to go to the kids to be, cared for by a guardian that you represent or that you choose? So you want to make sure you have everything in line at an early age. And then, as I mentioned before, keep updating it. Look at it every couple of years, because then once your kids hit majority age over 18, then you don't really need the guardian. But do you want somebody to be kind of a trustee of assets so they don't get, your whole estate in one swoop, God forbid, if both parents pass?
One of the biggest things that, because I have an estate, and one of the biggest things that I have gone through is trying to determine who's going to serve as the fiduciary, the trustee. That's a big decision, and you want to find somebody who might survive you, who might still be alive. If you're, one of the only members of your family left, who makes that decision? Who do you choose for that?
You want to choose somebody that you trust. You want to make sure that that fiduciary is going to carry out your wishes the way you want them, whether it's for your financial estate, for your medical well-being, too. A power of attorney and the fiduciary can be the same person so that you trust them and they're going to do what's right. You can also have a corporate trustee as a secondary trustee or kind of a backup, if you will, so that if the individual that you choose as your trustee or fiduciary doesn't want to step up and do this, then you have a corporate trustee that's going to look at everything that you have established and make decisions verbatim the way you have it.
I was surprised to see a story recently that of all people, physicians are one of the worst groups of doing estate planning, even though they deal with life and death every day. Talk to us a little bit about doctors and estate planning.
Yeah, they do. Doctors definitely help and get everybody through their health crisis and take care of the sick, but they neglect their own financial health. It's similar to every other person. It's nice to start early. There are a couple legal issues that are unique to healthcare, such as malpractice insurance, to make sure that you are protected against any litigation. And it's going to be a little bit different depending on if you are in private practice or part of a group. Private practice, you want to make sure you have a power of attorney that can make decisions on your behalf. If you're still alive but incapacitated, that they can do your day-to-day stuff on the personal side and then help assign a doctor to cover your patients while you're incapacitated or ill. You want to make sure you have a will in place. You want to make sure that you're looking at a trust, whether it's a living trust or an irrevocable trust. Living trusts are common and kinder to physicians and their beneficiaries in private practice. You may want to look at an irrevocable trust for physicians that work in a group where they're prone to malpractice so that you protect those assets in an irrevocable trust.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a couple of things there I want to focus back on. That's the wills and trusts. How do you decide which one is best, a will or a trust?
Typically, they go hand in hand. Most people do a will. It's an easy document. It's inexpensive to put together, but a will has to go through the court system. It has to be approved and verified and make sure nobody is challenging the will. So there could be other issues if somebody challenges it and the court doesn't verify, or there are more steps and costly steps to go through. You want to do a trust because it's going to take your larger assets like your investment or your home. They're going to be titled in the trust and kind of be protected there.
You do a lot of financial planning with people. Do you also work with attorneys, or can you do both of those things at the same time? Is it one-stop shopping when they come to Associated Bank?
So when they work with my team, we are definitely working on the financial plan and the structuring of it. We do have trust officers who have a legal background, but we do not document the trust documents or the will document. We do work with the client's outside counsel, and then we work hand in hand with them. So their counsel prepares all the documentation. We review it to make sure that it flows and follows the plan that we've set for the client.
So the bottom line here, Karen, is don't put this off one more day. Get it taken care of for your own well-being, right?
Correct. You want to do it sooner rather than later. And once it's established, don't file it in the filing cabinet. You need to look at it every couple of years to account for any changes.
All right.
So it's important to keep working on it.
All right, Karen. Great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
They can reach me directly at Associated Bank. My direct dial is area code 312-544-4604.
All right, Karen. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks so much, Steve. Have a great day.